All right. Call this meeting to order, the Oceano Community Service District. It is Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. It is 6:30 p.m. If I can get a roll call, Carolyn.
President Guerrero.
Here.
Vice President Lucy.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Here.
All right, flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four, the agenda review. Is there anybody that would like to remove anything from the agenda?
I would like to get a motion, since it's such a wonderful night, that we just table everything and bring this back in November.
Second that. hearing no motions to amend or review, remove anything from the agenda, do I have a motion to approve? Director Lucy has moved that we approve the... Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number five, public comments. Manager Gieslin, are there any public comments this evening?
Yes, we do. Leading off tonight will be Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. You may recall at the last meeting I talked a little bit about the rich history of Oceano and the Dune Child book and so forth. There's Atlantic City of the West by Norm Hammond, again, all depicting a very rich history in the community. And this evening, I wanted to try to link the past to the present in some ways. And as I've mentioned before, I believe the airport, the L-52 airport, is literally holding this community, the OCSD, and the people of Oceano hostage. The single most significant activity at the airport today is RV and mini storage. Over 80% of the revenues currently brought in from the airport, which aren't much, about $3,750 a month, are from RV and mini storage. It is hardly an airport. It's not your property, but it's clearly within your community, and it's integral to your community, I would submit. There's an effort to look at various ways to stimulate economic vitality in the community. We know unemployment is high here, and I would submit to you the airport land lies at the center of this question. If that land were utilized for purposes other than an airport, it has enormous potential in terms of boosting the economic activity and revenues in this district and elsewhere, five cities and on beyond to the county. The potential for property tax, transient occupancy tax, sales tax, connection fees for both water and sewer are significant. We heard at the Sand District meeting tonight that connection fees are one-tenth or less than what they have been historically. Your district has a significant water supply, and your connection fees are almost non-existent. So wouldn't it be a great idea to utilize that water within the community? And the airport property, I believe, is the answer. The water otherwise may go to other developments like Los Robles del Mar in Pismo or Spanish Springs or other projects in the Price Canyon area. Should that development go there or should it go here? It's a pretty straightforward question. So, again, Pismo or Oceano, is a development going to be an AG or Oceano?
Community to digest, and then a final report is written, and that is what is given to the county control. Auditor controller. That step was missed, and I think that's disingenuous to you and to your community. There are some serious findings, and your general manager has responded, and I think we all deserve explanation in how the district's making changes to respond to those concerns brought by the auditor. The other item that's not on your agenda tonight is your budget adoption or a budget hearing. I attended the Finance Committee on June 1st, and due to the format of that agenda, I was not allowed to speak to the budget item, and I had some concerns and some questions and some suggestions, and I might have been able to avert what's happened now, is that you don't have a budget adopted tonight, and you need to have one for before July 1st for the district to continue to operate and spend money. That has not been done in open session, no public notice, there's a noticing requirement, and none of those things have been met. So those are just two things that I wanted to bring to your attention tonight for your items not on the agenda.
Thank you.
And Ms. Tagger, I was at that meeting. I thought you declined to speak.
Yeah, that's what my thought was also.
Ms. Hurdle and I were both there, and you declined to talk at the June 1st meeting.
The agenda, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, was formatted in that you had, the public was required to speak before your staff gave his presentation and before you took up deliberations. I was not able to participate in the deliberations, ask my questions. Mr. Edwards was also there. He blurted out a question, and he went unanswered. We were ignored.
Is there any other public comment?
No, there's not.
All right. Moving on to item number 6, certificate of presentation. Item number A, presentation to Michael Blanchard, the Eagle Scout. Mr. Blanchard?
At this time, I'd like Mr. and Mrs. Blanchard to escort their son, Michael, to the podium, please. Honorable Board and ladies and gentlemen in the audience and ladies and gentlemen watching at home, and it is with great privilege and honor that I present to you Michael Blanchard, a recently decorated Eagle Scout. I attended his court of honor, and I also, along with the Oceana Advisory Council and the district and various members of the community, we were there for the dedication of the rebuilding of the Triangle Park, which was put in place. And so, Michael, I would like to know, how did a kid from Napomo end up in Oceano?
Well, it's funny that you asked that. Brian Haskell was the first one who came up to me with the project idea. And because I was looking for project ideas in Napomo, but there wasn't really a whole lot going on that I could help with at that point. So Brian, having the connections he does here, Mr. Haskell, having the connections he has here to Oceano, suggested to try and talk to the council about restoring the park over on Front Street. So.
And how much money did you raise to get that project done, and how much in in-kind donations did you get?
Yeah, the total price for the project was $2,239.
So. And how many hours did you put in of your personal time? And you don't get to count Dad's, because Dad used to come by and check.
Me personally, I put in 83 and a half hours.
Wow, so over 2 weeks and of man hours. That's pretty commendable. So I know you're a student in Napomo High School. Are you a junior, going to be a senior or a senior?
Yeah, I'm going to be a senior.
And do you have any idea of to where you want to attend for college?
Right now I'm considering going to Cal Poly.
Going to Cal Poly. You got a very interesting award at the Court of Honor. It was framed, and both you and Alexander got it. Can you tell the audience who gave you that award from someplace back in Washington?
Yeah, that was the director of the FBI.
Gave you an accommodation for a complete Eagle Scout. Your parents need to be very, very proud, just as the people in Napomo and the people of Oceano, because what I found out is once a Napomo kid comes to Oceano, he becomes an adopted kid regardless of where he's from, and you get a whole bunch of aunts and uncles that you never knew you had, and you but you've got the shoulders broad enough to handle it, and I'm very proud of you. So with that, Aaron, would you get me that thing? Oh.
Is there any?
On behalf of the Ocean Advisory Council and fellow member, Marvin Manso, I'm representing our whole council, and awarding you with this remembrance of the work you did on the park. We're very happy that you ended up doing your project in Ocean.
Yes.
You did a wonderful job, and we're very proud of the park, and we really, really appreciate all you did. So,
the board would be so kind as to come in front of the dais here, along with the Blanchards, we'd like to get pictures with the Oceano pictures behind it. So will all the board members circle the family, please? You guys up front here? Wait, Caroline, for the rest of the crew. Barbara and company, you guys want your picture, please?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. Michael, again, thank you very much for your service to the community.
Moving on to item number 7, review and approval of minutes. No, that's A. Is there any board, public comment? Excuse me.
No, there's not.
All right. Is there any board comment on item number 7, approval of minutes?
No, they're perfect.
Uh-huh. Karen White, I should start with her since she's our newest newest member. Welcome. Thank you.
I don't have
any
comments.
Okay.
Feel good to me.
Director Angelo?
None at this time. Thank you.
Director Hurdle?
No, thank you.
I have no comments. Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the minutes from June 13th.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 8, cash disbursements. Is there any staff report on this? I don't think that.
Yeah, I'm about to give you the board cash disbursements of $652,516.90. The bulk of this being payment of our two largest water bills to the state and to the county, which goes through the county, payments to the Sand District, and miscellaneous other normal expenses. We will, at close of business on the 29th, we will run agings that will show what we have both as far as AR and AP, though it'll be minimal on the AP side. And so we'll have status of that because everything now will go on accrual. We're cashed through the bulk of the year until the last month, and then we'll go on accrual. So there was no questions, no public comment, so I will pass this forward to you.
I have just a couple questions, Director Giesen.
Sure.
Actually, that's manager.
Manager, excuse me. So that's for the water and Lopez, right?
That's correct.
And they're both due at the same time?
One's due in June and one's due in July, July 1, yeah. So we pay it now. Last year, if you remember...
They're quarterly. I mean, there was like a couple months between the two.
No, they're paid twice a year.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's credits that are due, but this is the start of the fiscal year, end of fiscal year, part of the calendar year, part of the water year.
And then we do the loan with the county because they didn't include us in the refund.
Right, that's included in the payment as well.
And so that's rolled right into these payments.
That's correct.
So the debt is rolled right in. And then one more thing I wanted to ask you is the pigging and the wheeling. I'm really glad you broke that out, you know, because it's kind of one of those costs that you're not quite sure what we're pigging and what we're wheeling in. And it makes it clear where it's happening, but it makes it clear on how much we're being, you know, charged for that infrastructure.
Well, how that works is those expenditures are line items, and we go through those line items, and sometimes there's a credit that comes back, and so that's what that mid-year adjustment will be. But this is the initial kickoff, and that's why the bills are so high. I want to remind you that we didn't pay these bills until almost August of last year, and we were getting letters from the county, so they have they're ecstatic that the stuff's coming in on time now.
Yeah. This is a nice fresh start because last year was a disaster for all.
That's correct.
Okay, great. So, thank you.
Hey, we had a brief discussion, Tom. With the $652,000, it's a large part of our $1.90.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 9, board member comments. We're going to pick on you tonight, Director White. Why don't we start with you?
Okay, well, I obviously haven't been to any meetings, but I picked this little activity guide up the other day from Arroyo Grande, and I noticed that it includes Napomo, Pismo Beach, Grover, Arroyo Grande, nothing on Oceana. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Boys and Girls Club has summer activities. I'm sure that Lucy Amar has something going on at the community center.
Can you lift your mic up?
Yeah. So, everybody talks about we're not doing this, we're not doing that. Well, somebody in the community also needs some outreach. I don't know if we could become responsible for recreation, even if it was just, it's one of our responsibilities,
parks,
but there's no funds for it. But if they could even get a committee together that could communicate to the other entities, this came up from this Roy Grande Chamber of Commerce, and I asked them today about it, and they said, oh, yeah, well, the Oceana Community Services District owns a community building, mm-hmm. and I said, no, Lucy Amar does, and they mm-hmm. said, and we talked to the Boys and Girls Club, but they didn't call us back. So it's like our neighbors don't care.
Well, we can do something better next year for this activities, because I know that down at the airport there's a lot of activities. The depot's constantly having activities, mm-hmm. so it is pretty active. So maybe we could check into
and there's how the melodrama can. And the dunes and
yeah.
Does
none of it.
Napomo have a chamber?
Yes, they do.
Maybe that's one of the reasons is that we don't have a chamber.
They have a recreation committee that we don't either.
Right. Let me have a recommendation.
Director Lucy, do you have any board member comments this evening?
No, sir.
Move to the other end. Director Angela, do you have any board member comments this evening?
No, I don't.
Director Hurdle?
No, thank you.
I have one, and I just like to say what a privilege and honor it is to have Karen White here with us. So why don't we move on to the rest of the agenda this evening. Item number 10, report of OCSD operations. Manager Giesland?
Do you want to take public comment before or after?
Let's take it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Julie Tucker.
How can I speak to something I haven't heard?
Are you declining then? Is there any other public comment that manager?
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. Mr. President, I thought we've covered this. Public comment is to be received following your staff report. We've been here before. We've covered this ground. And your board is aware, as your of council is, that public testimony is to be taken following the staff report. So is there going to be a staff report? And will you allow us to comment following the staff report? Apparently not.
Actually, the law requires before or during, not after. It would be a violation to do it after.
I'm afraid, Mr. President, you're of counsel, unlearned counsel.
Mr. Edwards, would you please control your tongue? You're not allowed to do personal attacks during the public comment.
I can say pretty much what I like. So, really? in light of that, I'd like to, since your general manager has become accustomed to using his Friday report for his discussion of district operations, I will refer to the Friday report. And he said staff has been working extremely short due to serious family injury, medical leave, and other leave. It's my understanding that the other leave involves your utility manager, Mr. Dan Silvera.
Sir, you're not going to talk about people's right to privacy
this
here.
I don't care what you think the law is.
You are not going to disclose people's right to privacy in front of me.
So I would like to understand why your utility manager.
discuss personnel issues with
you. Okay, great. Let me move on to another item. Your GM indicates he's worked with the NCMA TAC on a water management plan, and that the board agenda will now have water updates and discussions on agendas. I don't see anything on this agenda. Are we to expect there will be additional agenda items to discuss the
one more.
We recall this meeting back to order, and I thank everybody for your patience. I apologize for the disruption. We're not going to ask anybody to be removed at this time. However, our bylaws do provide that if somebody is disruptive, that they be removed. And can I ask that this discussion happen outside, Deputy Miller? Thank you. Is there any further public comment, Manager Giesling?
No, there's not. Okay, now I'd like to kick into my report.
Okay, your report, sir.
Okay, in a previous meeting, there was a discussion.
Hold on a second. Can we have the disruption on the back? Calm down. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Miller. Yeah. Can you close the door? Thanks. All right, Manager Giesling?
In the previous meeting, the past budgets were presented at the podium, and the past budgets at the podium, which I have already spoken out several times to this board, especially when we prepared the first one, were passed without any caveats or anything, and the previous general manager got his accounting terms mixed up and presented revenue numbers for expenditures and everything else. Our budget was drafted, put on the website on May 23rd. We had a finance meeting where we went through it line by line. It was acknowledged at that point in time that there was a couple changes that needed to be made, one being an agreement with the OCSD and the Sanitation District on future billing, which we're in process. There's also the amount of money that we send out every year as our portion of the JPA. And that, as you all know, as I've been constantly reporting, is in labor negotiations. And so that amount is subject to change based mm-hmm. on what's going on in that era. And I'd also like to point out that when in discussion with my sister agencies, they've all done budgets. But the reality of it is one of them has 6 pages of caveats and the other one has 3. And I reviewed it with council, and I reviewed it with the people at the state, and I reviewed it with the county, and said that I still had some tweaks to be made, and I was under a deadline. And they said it doesn't matter as long as everything's paid, and you go through the motions for a posted meeting and get everything posted. So we've got that in play. There will be a special meeting called tomorrow where we will discuss it. The posting will take place. And then the goal was to have it ready by July 11th, but the reality is we'll have it ready by July 13th, because of the time. We have to have a certain amount of days in between.
What time is that special meeting for tomorrow, Manager Giesling?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay.
5 o'clock. So that addresses the budget, but I find it amazing that people stand up and they quote budgets, and they don't even do an analysis to realize that those budgets were grossly inaccurate, never tracked. There was never a track to income or expense for the past 3.5 years, and you guys have sat through two quarterly reviews and a preparation ready to go on that budget. There's also people that stood up at that podium that also talked about the audits and that I didn't bring them to you. I've walked you through the audits every step of the way, and I've had both. I've talked about them at the board meetings. I've talked about them in my Friday reports. They were delivered to the county because we had to meet a deadline. If we didn't meet the deadline, the audit is the audit. It is what it is. The findings were already out. They were addressed. And the findings are addressed in the auditor's report. And that's what goes forward. And I can give you an audit, which I will, but there is no say. It's done. It's over. And oh, by the way, it's water under the bridge. It's stuff that happened 2-3 years ago with people that are no longer here, neither on this board. Actually, Ms. Lucy was the only one that was on the board consistently through this. So there's nothing that can be done. And any finding that they made, rest assured that the majority were corrected. Otherwise, this place would have been taken back by the county a long time ago. So there's that.
Just in my defense,
I did vote no on all of those budgets.
That is correct. Okay. But the audits themselves, they are what they are. It's an independent auditor's report on what he thinks our internal controls and what our financial deals are, and they're based on 2 and 3 years ago. And oh, by the way, our journeyman, and it's Mr. Tony Marciano, and I'd like him to stand up.
Can you come to the podium, Tony?
We went through a long, arduous process, and Tony was the one that made the final cut, and he started on Monday. He will be a journeyman utility service operator, and he's got a wealth of experience, and he fits in perfectly with his group, and we're extremely excited to have him.
Thank you. And I spoke to Aaron. I want to point out I spoke with Aaron this evening, and 3 days into it, he's raving about his work. So I'd like to welcome you aboard, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The other things that are going on are, and this is really, really critical, when we came in here, everything was in such disarray, and we put some what I call basic business blocking and tackling in, and we determined the solvency of the district. We've increased the payables. We've increased our receivables because of the staff's effort on beating down the bone pile of non-payment, chasing down on all the foreclosures that we went through, and billing the banks, and we've received several thousand dollars from the banks. We've done an awful lot with very little, and it became apparent to me about 4 months ago that we need to take the blocking and tackling to a new level. Because there are things as we are a multiple fund agency, and we have to track things to multiple funds. We can't just operate, with one checkbook. And so I had our accounting firm come in and start doing internal audits on all our operations. And what they've done is they've taken things like when I got here, there was no cash controls. So we put basic cash controls in. And then during the audits, it became clear that as we're staging to close this year out, that we had missed a couple steps that would make it very easy for the auditors and the accountants to close the books, and it also increases the amount of check and balances. So I have a report coming from them. We've already implemented certain things from that, and we are looking at people's jobs responsibilities and what they're doing, because when our young lady that works in the office, when her husband got critically injured, and she had to go take care of that, as we found out when Director Angela went through her deal as well, that certain things that you just took for granted that were getting taken care of weren't getting taken care of. And so we got a list of everybody's assignments, but certain things dropped, and so we're eliminating that. And this was actually the ideal time to do it because of our other person that went out on leave. It gave us an opportunity to have a completely second set of eyes to go in and look at that stuff. And the same way with what's going on in the field. And you guys met Doug Grosshart last week or at the last meeting. Doug has been checking in with us every other day, ensuring that we are in complete compliance. And we'll talk about it later in the agenda, but the consumer conference report was edited, reviewed, and it went out, and it's out on time, and it's up on the website, and it's recorded electronically. So I know in the past that was a big scrambling item, and it's now been fine-tuned and accurate, and Doug is also making sure that if you remember, we held a training session here in conjunction with all the other agencies to make sure that we're reporting spills properly, we're reporting our water issues properly, and he's making sure that that's happened. He's working hand-in-hand with Aaron to make sure that we're all caught up in that, and we go into the new year completely vested. So I'd like to thank Doug for, I mean, he's getting paid for it, but he's also going above and beyond to make sure that we're there. Right. With respect to all the other administration stuff that we're doing, i.e. policies and procedures and meeting notes that we'll talk about later, that's absorbed a significant amount of time and effort. And aside from the budget reviews that we've been doing on us, stuff that we're also accountable for. So that's the report, and I'm open to any questions.
I don't have any questions.
One other thing.
Oh, please.
The water thing will be done once a month, and because it doesn't make sense to report, so we will report at the first meeting of the month what we used the month before. So
okay.
We'll have that acre foot. The calculations would skew that much, and then I'm also looking at adding that to the Friday report.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Does anybody have any questions for Manager Giesel?
I have none. No, I said I have none.
Actually, in a perfect world, the general manager would have nothing to do with the auditor.
Right.
And the general manager does not even remotely suggest what they test. They announce what they're going to test, and then staff fills that information basket with everything that they want. Now, where I've been involved is like they need legal opinions from all our associated law firms. So in this past case, it was Alex Seamus that I had to get a legal letter from, and Henry Weinstock of Nossman, who's our Santa Maria groundwater. But it's just a chain thing to feed the information to expedite it. And you got to remember, it's not an audit if we're directing it. They have to direct it. It's that's the deal. And the auditors that we've selected, both Moss Levy, which also the Sand District came on the tail of us, and they've selected them for their audits. We're now using Caliber Audit and Test because they have extensive government auditing criteria. So it's whatever they want to see. It has nothing to do with what we want to see. And you want that because that's where you find out where you're missing things and you respond to it.
And I think that's important for everybody to hear that those types of things have drastically changed, which won't lead us to where we were in the past. So,
yeah, I never even considered that activity was happening before. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hearing no further questions, we'll move on to item 10B, report of Board of Directors and outside committees. I told John Wallace he's here. He was going to make my report tonight on the sanitation district.
I got a
district.
Public comment on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Edwards.
Mr. Edwards?
I think he should be able to.
Are you declining?
Mr. President, board members, Jeff Edwards, I don't know how one can consider comments before we hear comments. It would seem so much more productive, and I would shape my remarks based upon what I heard. But since you are not allowing that, which is inconsistent, I will go ahead and speak to what I heard this evening at the Sand District meeting. And as you know, the Sand District has received a complaint, an administrative civil liability complaint from the state of California in connection with the December 19th, 2010 spill of raw sewage and stormwater, largely in the island neighborhood. There were a number of concerns I raised before the Sand District Board tonight, and I will reiterate some of those to you. And they relate, first of all, to the general approach in dealing with the state in this connection. And I've sensed an arrogance on the part of the Sanitation District Board and staff, and I think that's exactly the wrong tack to take with the state. I know that they have the ability to increase the fines if they don't feel like there's real sincerity and genuineness. So I think it's important because, as your board knows, the fines that are imposed upon the sanitation district ultimately will pass through to your district. And at some point, there's an economy of scale that it diminishes, and that is, is the Sand District Board going to spend a dollar to save a dollar of the administrative fines? Sand District has hired special legal counsel. Well, that would suggest to me that their intent on appealing this to the state board and perhaps even filing litigation, and I would submit that the fines are not going to go down as a result of that appeal process. And again, whatever's left over is your responsibility, at least as to one-third. I believe your board should take the offensive in connection with the proposed administrative civil liabilities. There is no insurance that the district has, either for a defense of the civil liabilities or to defray the fines once they're imposed. I think you need to take the offensive both with regard to the sanitation district and the county of San Luis Obispo, in that their facilities at the airport were partly responsible for flooding the Sand District and the island. I think you need to make claims now against both the Sand District and the county to protect your ratepayers, your citizens. I'm available for any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other public comment, Manager Keyes?
None at this time.
All right. John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. Director, President Aguero has asked me to help him out on a little bit of reporting on what we did at the Sand District meeting tonight. We had three action items tonight, and that was it was a good meeting. We had the first was to talk about our water recycling forum that we had. We've also applied for grants as part of the county program that's being considered by the state right now. We expect to hear, I believe, sometime here by the end of July whether that grant is successful or not for further studies on recycled water in the area. So it's in our staff report, which is on our website, if you care to read it in its entirety. So it was a good recap. The second major item that we did tonight was that we adopted our fiscal year budget for this next fiscal year, 2012-13. It's a substantial document. We've changed some of the formatting that we've had in past years to make it a little easier to read with respect to our major budget items. Our budget is over $3 million this next year, and we know that we cannot build all the projects that need to be built, so we're investigating loans and grants that will help us out, but we also will be coming back to the board prioritizing those projects. And it's important to note that no project moves ahead until the board of directors makes the decision to go ahead with that. So there's a number of controls in there so that these projects are not done without approval. Again, that document is on our website for public review. And we also renewed our insurance for the year through the Special Districts Risk Management Authority, which I believe Oceana also has their insurance. And it's a substantial program. It covers both liability, our automotive insurance, and so forth. And so that was approved by the board. A couple of items on scheduling of meetings, because our next meeting would fall on July 4th, and nobody wanted to come here to have a barbecue for our board meeting. We have canceled that board meeting for the public's information. And we will be moving that meeting to the July 17th date, which is a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. Our normal meeting would fall on Wednesday the 18th, but some of our members will be at the League of California Cities, so therefore we're going to schedule that for the 17th of July. And if the meeting room is available, we'll have it here at 6 o'clock.
I think that 6 o'clock or was it 5?
No, 6 o'clock.
Was it 6 o'clock?
Right.
I don't think there's a conflict.
I don't think there's a conflict. I think we're okay.
Okay, good. That's good. Just to talk a little bit about the ACL, as you know, we had a tremendous experience back in December 2010. Unfortunately, there was a spill at the plant, and that resulted in what they call administrative civil liability being imposed by the state of California. During the last year and a half, we've tried to negotiate that and to mitigate that. We're unsuccessful at that time. So we're moving ahead to a hearing on September 6th before the Regional Water Quality Control Board here in San Luis Obispo. So that will be a public meeting, and it will be there for people to attend. We're attempting to mitigate that. As you know, it was a a declared disaster by both the state as well as the local during that period of time. So we had substantial flooding at the plant as a result. One of the things that we're looking at, of course, is the fairness of the action that they've imposed. We don't believe it's fair. And the accuracy, we don't believe it's accurate either. And so to address some of the public questions that have come up, we don't believe that we can accept that large of a liability, because that would be roughly one-third of our total fund balances if that fund, if that fine were to proceed. And there's many, many projects that need to be done to utilize those funds. So we'll be working very hard on that in the meantime to mitigate that. Just to conclude, I'll let you guys know we are conducting more tours of the plant, and be happy to set up that with any of your directors. Director White, who maybe has not been out there in a while, we'd be happy to conduct those tours. We've also, with the current staff that we have, we do a lot of projects in-house compared to a lot of other districts. And one gentleman in particular, Mr. Trini Rodriguez, is our shift supervisor. He's an expert welder, among other things, and we've been able to accomplish a lot of work with pumps and welding and so forth that would otherwise be shipped out to outside vendors. We're also doing an update to our standard operating procedures, which are done now. They've been completed. In our O&M manual as well, we had a very, very good technical writer that helped us out part-time to complete that. We're updating our emergency response plan, which is underway and being completed. And to talk about our training programs, we're doing a lot of training to make sure that our folks are up to snuff on all the recent requirements from the state as well as the locals. So I'll be happy to answer any questions that the board has at this time.
Go ahead, Director Lucy.
Really? I'm the only one?
Well, I see you making notes. And John, did fail to mention that you and I had an informal meeting with Surf Riders the other
yes,
day.
Yes, we did. So. President Guerrero and...
A board decision to take it all the way to litigation? Because if you factor out the cost right now, which, it, you know, it's the people who will absorb this issue, and, you know, it's already been... figured out that, you know, it was partly due to error, you know, and it wasn't Mother, you know, Nature's error either. So I want to know, did you have a board vote to go on to litigation?
Well, first thing, we're not in litigation.
Obviously, you're going forward with litigation.
But we're not in litigation. And I think the budget is a budget, as you know. And hopefully those funds won't need to be expended. We think that we'll be hopefully successful at the hearing in September. So that budget is a budget that needs to be, that was approved by the board tonight, looking forward, but hopefully those funds won't need to be expended.
Okay. My fault for mixing two things. I'm going to ask you yes or no. Did your board vote to take this forward instead of taking the fine and paying it? Who voted for you guys to move forward on this?
I think that's, Mary, I think that's closed session on that.
I don't believe it is closed session. And I believe it's the right of the people to know how they, if you're going to take, I'm not talking about dollars and cents here. I'm talking about
okay, but
if,
these comments
if
need
you
to be
move,
limited to
if you choose to move forward,
from
what?
The Sand District meeting kind of the, it, in place of that.
Because it's not an agendized.
Yeah, so right. Now we're kind of getting into non-agendized stuff.
Oh, I was under the impression that we were here discussing the sanitation district's
for what he
issue.
Was discussing for, you know, reporting on behalf of Matt, kind of, yes.
Oh, it's a report, so yes. It's not on the spill?
No, he's coming back to go through all that stuff.
Oh, because I could have swore it was part of your report.
I talked in general about the process, and I wanted to inform the board and the public what the process is to get from here to there, and I think that's a general statement. Other things that are beyond the scope of just a general presentation would need to be agendized, and some of that, of course, is closed session material.
Okay. Actually, votes are not closed session. If you did vote, even if it was in closed session, that needs to be reported. So if that was some within the scope of your report tonight, then that's a fair question.
So, I was led to believe that this was agendized. And I was told that it would be agendized. And correct me if I was wrong. I thought that we were having a report and that you were just folding it together just so there wasn't duplication. But ultimately, Mr. Wallace was standing here not to do your report, but to talk about the 2010 problem.
I was asking, actually, I asked him to do my report because we just had the meeting right before this.
Then you're not here to talk about the 2010 spill?
I think I just did, as much as I can at this point in time.
You guys need to make up your minds. Okay, that puts me in a conundrum because I do have a question about I have a question regarding the liability insurance that you mentioned at the beginning of the report.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have, because you have liability insurance and we have a fine and the board has chosen to litigate, not in litigation now, but possibly moving forward, litigation completed, everything adjudicated, whatever the outcome is, does your liability insurance, would it take up any of the responsibility or a part of it or all of it for the actual spill?
It's my understanding from the comment that our legal counsel made tonight that no, that's not the case.
And we have liability.
It was discussed at the meeting, and Mr. Seitz opined that there was not coverage for this particular incident. And at this point, though, that it is an administrative civil complaint or civil liability is administrative. It's not a superior court action. At this point, if there was an appeal, that would go to the superior court. The administrative action is just that administrative, such as like a workers' comp hearing, such as like a DMV hearing. That's an administrative action.
So did your board vote to go on administratively then, if that's what you want to call it?
I
want to know how... Who's driving?
Well, part of that, of course, and I'm not trying to avoid the question. I'm trying to answer it correctly from the standpoint of what we can talk about and what we can't because of closed session. But our board has given us general direction to attempt to mitigate and to work this out with. We've replaced a number of pumps and valves at the plant just from general operation and maintenance out there. Our electrical system upgrades have been completed.
And certified and signed off?
Well, certification, I'm not sure what you mean by that. They've been inspected.
And they've been signed off?
They've been inspected, and yes, that work's been completed.
Okay.
There's a little bit of remaining work to be done with our street lights that are in the driveway, but all of the major work has been completed. We're initiating, of course, our long-range plan, and part of that is being held up by the Coastal Commission in terms of the permitting for it. We've gone to, we believe, extensive community outreach to talk about what happened and given PowerPoint presentations to your board as well as to the other agencies involved to let them know what happened and showing them the slides of the different situations that was out there at the time. We have completed our standard operating procedures update and organized those in what I would call a more modern fashion, so they're easily read, they're more easily obtained in times of emergency and just regular times for standard operating procedures. And we've tied that to our work order system as well. And we will be looking at further upgrades to the plant. As I mentioned, we have a lot of projects in our budget that was approved tonight, a number of things that will be taking place, not only at the plant, but also in our trunk sewers. As you know, we have 9 miles of trunk sewers out there. And there's some what we call hot spots in those trunk sewers that will be needing repair. We'll be inspecting our electrical system completely before each rainy season to make sure that we are all tested out and okay. We're monitoring the inflow and the infiltration that comes into our sewers so that we know what kind of water comes into the plant during rain events. And we've done extensive metering and reporting on that and reported back to our board about that. And we've also been coordinating with the county on our overall emergency response plan, as well as the work that they're doing in the lagoon to mitigate the flooding in the future in the lagoon area. So there's just some of the things that we've been working on that we've completed.
Now, John, I really appreciate that information.
I'll be happy to.
That tells me that you're paying attention to it all. Gives me some level of reassurance versus, you know, all the other stuff that goes on. So I do really appreciate you taking the time and going through it, and I'm sorry it was so painful for everybody.
No, it definitely is. And a lot of the credit of these things go to the guys at the plant. We have a great staff.
We do.
The leadership there is outstanding. They've accomplished a lot. They've saved the district a lot of money from the stuff that they do. And I take my hat off to them. Really, really appreciate the work
they've done. And you should.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have one little question.
Sure. Director White.
I'm new here. I hate letters that stand for something. Oh. You said, I think, ACL at the beginning. What's that?
Yes, ma'am. Two acronyms, NOV and ACL. NOV stands for Notice of Violation, and that's the formal letter that you get from the state that says you've done something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, depending upon the seriousness of it and their assessment of what they think is the penalty to be imposed, they issue what's called an administrative civil liability.
It's not
litigation.
Yeah.
It's like a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
It's like a workman's comp case.
Or DMV.
Yeah.
Or parole hearing. Or I could go on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So that's my report. let's start at Director White hasn't had any committee meetings. Is any Director Angelo, do you have anything to report this evening?
I'm trying to think what I went to. I'm sorry. I don't think I have anything to report this week.
Director Hurdle?
Yes, I did go to an Oceano Advisory Committee meeting on the 18th, and I think it's basically business as usual, nothing really out. Yeah. Nothing, you know, just GP and administrative and discussion stuff. We did do some discussion regarding the Oceano revitalization, you know, just kind of going over that to let people know what is going on with that. Good meeting.
There is an upcoming revitalization meeting again, which I think is July 14th. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they'll be here July 10th, actually.
July 10th. At what time? I think it's at 6 o'clock or 6:30?
I think they're going to schedule just like they did in June. They'll be here all day from the 10th to the 12th, and then there'll be some scheduled meetings in the evening.
Excellent. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Why don't we do that? Or we can do three and then one, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
Also. So why don't I turn over the microphone to Vice President Lucy. I'm recusing myself on the Thomas Hill matter, 2620 Grell Lane, as I live within 500 feet of that particular property. So.
Okay. So do you want to walk us through here, General Manager, or do you want us just to make a motion, sir?
Well, what I need to explain is that we had a weed abatement program that's been in effect for some time. The fire department notices the people. They have a certain time period to take action. If they don't take it, then we incur the cost for them, and then we move the cost over to the tax rolls.
Okay.
So what I need is these are the last of the ones that haven't addressed it, and I need a motion to go forward per the instructions in the...
And I see that, just very quickly, that there are two properties that are on the same, on both lists. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
The one on Surf is on both lists. Are those...
You can speak. Caroline can speak.
We're just looking at the water one right now.
Yes, I know. We're just considering the water one right now. I'm actually wondering if this is a vacant property or not.
It's not the same property on Surf.
Well, the one on Surf is 321. I didn't want to mention numbers, and it's 321. Right, it's on both.
Yeah.
It is on both.
It is unbelievable.
There's something going on there.
Yeah, so that's all I'm wondering, if there's something going on with that property. So somebody wants to make a motion or entertain.
Wait, I got a question. I think the one on 17th Street, I have a piece of, no, 16th Street, I'm sorry. Where did I see it at?
We're not doing
no,
that.
No, we're on the water.
The water right now.
You're jumping ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Somebody want to entertain a motion? Do you want me to make it? Or?
Okay.
Okay, I move that. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I move that we approve the public hearing.
Mike.
Okay, I move that we approve the public hearing, the public protest hearing for the imposition of liens for delinquent water charges on the property described in the subject matter memorandum and addressed on attachment one.
Okay, we're going to have to go through this again.
Okay. You help me.
Okay, you need to make a finding. It's written.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right. I got it. Okay, what I do then is I make a motion.
This is vacant.
To order the certificate to be prepared and filed with the county recorder declaring the amount of the charges and penalties due and the name of the last known address of each affected property owner in violation as shown on attachment one.
And to make a finding that there are no defensible protests. I second.
Can I open it up for quick discussion? Well, it's been seconded, so for sake of argument, I can just ask a question. Does it cost us if we can't find the person, or is it attached to the lot?
It's a lien.
Yeah, the lien.
It's lien to the lot.
So it's lien to the lot, because I unfortunately, recognize a couple of these names, right, but I know that the lots aren't going to change, but the people are gone. Huh? Okay, great. Okay.
Roll call vote, Carolyn.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Well, she wants
oops,
to vote
sorry.
Twice.
Director Lucy.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Matt didn't have a... You don't have a conflict on this second one, right?
I think I do. I have a property on 16th Street, fairly close to 1511.
How
okay,
far
well, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're jumping the gun again.
I'm sorry.
Okay, the motion carried.
The motion carried 4-0 with Mr. President Guerrero abstaining.
No, recused
myself.
Recused himself, left the room. Stepped away from the building.
So where are we at? Can you are we
trash.
On them? We're on trash.
We're are on we going to have two recusals on the next one?
We could.
Is that going to be a problem?
Delinquent trash charges. I don't have a recusal on the next one.
I thought yours was the Grell Lane one.
Mine was the Grell.
For the trash charges that are over 120 days, advising them that they haven't paid them in 45 days, that we would like to issue a lien. They have up until July 5th to pay. The list you have right now is what we have current. If they pay by the 5th, then we'll get the updated payments to Carol Ann, and of course they'll be crossed off the list before we put the lien out. So. Pretty much the same concept. We're recommending that the board of directors conduct the required protest hearing, make a finding that there's no defensible protest, order a certificate to be prepared and filed with the county recorder, and then you can see the attachment and how many we're talking. So it looks like about 19 right now. Any questions?
No, I appreciate the work that you did here. It's very straightforward, easy to follow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I did notice.
Go ahead, please.
That under the public notification on this page, the last paragraph, that it says that there it was.
Can you use the mic?
Yes, that this item. I don't think this is for you. I think this is for.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But it says that this notice was mailed to the four people on attachment A and posted in 7 conspicuous places throughout Oceano, but there are more than 4 attachments to, I mean, 4 names on attachment A.
That's actually attachment 1.
So that is
1.
A correction, yeah.
It says 19 utility accounts. It says 19 on the cover page.
Yeah, but down at the bottom.
Is it, but at the...
It says under discussion on the second paragraph, it says we'll find a complete listing of the 19 utility accounts.
Okay, so there's a typo.
In attachment 1.
Yes.
Yeah, so
that's
when
all
it
I'm
went
saying.
Into
people,
public...
Yeah.
Oh, when it went into the public record...
It's not attachment A, it's attachment 1.
Yeah.
So it appears, so much for my statement that it was straightforward. It appears that the public notification does have a typo, but the discussion does have the proper information in it. Molly, is that...
I think that it was actually mailed is what counts, and it states that it was mailed to the people on attachment A.
It's giving actual notice.
You could take the 4 out and it would be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Sure. Mr. Falk.
Just to verify, too, just so we're understanding the process here, we call these customers every 30 days up through the 120-day process, and then we do mail on top of that. So they we overly communicate with them just to make sure, because we don't want them going into this process either. So.
Right. Yeah. So based upon your experience with the company there, all of these people were notified. They all received a first-class letter, and we're giving them notice of the opportunity to come and protest this.
That's correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I have to recuse myself on 1.
Okay. And which one do you need to recuse yourself on, Director Angela?
Number 3.
Number 3, Director Angela would recuse herself from Fred Moeller, 1511 16th Street.
Yeah, I know.
As Director Angela leaves the room, is there any further discussion?
No.
All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I don't know.
Okay, I move that the board conduct the required protest hearing, make a finding that there are no defensible protests, and order a certificate to be prepared and filed with the county recorder declaring the amount of the charges and the penalties due and the name and last known address of each affected property owner in violation of, as of attachment, shown on attachment A, excuse me, attachment 1.
Attachment 1. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
The motion carries 4-0 with Director Angelo having recused herself.
And can we note for the record that the protest hearing was held?
Yes, and the record will note that it was held. And nobody came to protest. If Director Angelo could come back in, I don't know if she can hear us.
She doesn't want to hear us.
Well, yeah. Is it a good time for a break? It's about 7 minutes before 8. Why don't we take a 7-minute break, come back right at 8 o'clock.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Here on the table, I'll have to review that. But when I go to the website, when the agenda is posted, some days before,
this public comment is limited to the item on
right
and confidence report.
Yes, and I'm trying to speak to an item that there's no way the public at home would know what you're here talking about. There's no, and I'll just say that when
There are staff reports, written staff reports. The public can choose to come and speak or not to the item. But when what I found is I didn't know what it was, so I put in a speaker slip to speak to this item, still not knowing what it was, hoping to hear your general manager explain it, maybe receive a handout. I'll take one now, but then I won't be able to participate in at any other time. So I'll just make that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment, Manager Giesen?
Could you state for the record the people that are coming to public comment, where they're from, please?
Ms. Tacker from Los Osos.
I'm glad you know where I live, but the Brown Act doesn't require me to tell you. So you can tell everyone where I live. That doesn't matter.
Thank you, ma'am.
Come on over.
Mr. Giesen, just for my own memory, this goes to every ratepayer who receives water from the Oceanic Community Service District. Is that correct?
It goes to every resident, whether they're a ratepayer or not, and anybody outside the area that we service, plus several agencies that we work with. It's not an item for discussion because it's a state-mandated report. It's based on collected data that we collect through our normal process, and we stipulate in there what our testing criteria is, how we operate our district, and we put the data out there. It has to be out by July 1, and it went out. We received the formal copy of it yesterday. It was released to our mailing center. It's up on the website, and everybody within the Oceano District, whether they take water or not, receives a consumer confidence report.
Great. And you know, what's really nice about this is it tells exactly what's in our water, what we drink and shower and everything with. And then I use this to look at other cities to see, you know, kind of how to gauge water and the quality of the water and stuff.
We receive it from Vandenberg, Arroyo Grande, Pismo, Napomo. So there's an interchange between all the agencies and the water quality.
Yeah, and this year it looks really good. I have to say that. Thank you.
So I don't, it's for information only. There's no action to be taken by the board, but I wanted to present it before you.
We'll just receive the report. Is there any other questions, Director White?
Yes, I was just wondering, is this also reproduced in Spanish or sent out in Spanish, or is it just in English? I know there's a
good question.
Little something down here in Spanish. I don't know what it says.
It says it contains information that's very important regarding your water that you drink.
Right, and that's put on there so our Spanish-speaking people that we deliver to know, can reference it. If they have questions, they can call.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on to item...
So one thing I want to point out, it goes out to, like, box holder, resident, into every address. It's not done by our billing cycle. We give a list of all the addresses, and that's what it goes out to, so... Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 11D, Policy and Procedure Manual. This was brought from last time. I believe we already took public comment on this.
Right, we took public comment. We've had several meetings. We never got a vote because you...
wanted to look at it.
Right. So what I'm asking for tonight is a motion to approve.
And I do have a couple of things I'd like to add.
Oh, I got to open a public comment. Sorry.
Okay.
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos, and I have been perusing your policies and procedures manual, or your proposed, that you've proposed for adoption tonight. I don't see a copy for the public. I was able to view it on the website, but there's not one here for the public to review tonight. And it wasn't part of your staff report or the binder. So there's an omission for the public. It is on your website, but it's kind of hard to find. If you're looking for a job, it's over on the employment opportunity page. So that's kind of a funny place for it. Let's see, of 2007. So it begs the question now, the policy from 2007, how does it differ from the policy you're adopting tonight, and how do your employees work under the new one, or are they working under the 2007 one that you rescinded to last week or last meeting? The difficulty that I had with the document was that there's really no strike-through copy, red line copy, something to show what changes are taking place for the district. And I just want to say that I think we could have had a better process had we seen the strike-through copy and been able to add or subtract information. The last thing I'll say is that I know that district council has spent a tremendous amount of time on this and been paid a lot of money, and I don't recall when the board directed that expenditure.
Thank you, Mrs. Tacker.
I'd like the record to reflect that the personnel committee worked on the policies and procedures manual at great length and met several times.
Chairman Guerrero?
Yes.
I'd like to point out, too, that some of the things said at the podium were inaccurate.
What would you like to correct, sir?
What I'd like to correct is that it was on the website. It's been on the website. We noticed, because of all the hectic things that we've been doing, and if you look at the amount of work that's been done on every one of these agendas over the last 3 or 4 months, that when it was posted, the person at the podium did say that it was hard to find. We sat down earlier in the week and redefined the website and reorganized it so that OCSD stuff was put forward, and so all those corrections have been made. And the last time I checked, and I just want you guys to reassure me of this, was that I take my direction from you and the citizens of Oceano. I do not take direction from anybody from the outside of our district, nor do I allow them to plan my day or tell me what. And if there's a change to that, I need you to tell me that now.
That is accurate.
Thank you.
I like how legal counsel, too, did pull out what the changes were, what the significant changes in the policies were as far as agenda, public comment, and things like that. So we didn't have to search and search through the document. You did do a separate sheet on the proposed changes, so
I'd also
appreciate
like,
that.
I'd also like to point out that aside from it being on the website, that it's also been on the front desk for anybody to come in and review. And unfortunately, the only people that have come in to review are people from outside this area.
I did see it there this afternoon, and whatever day it was, I came in Monday, I think it was, I saw it. It might have been yesterday.
And we got the document almost a month ago, wouldn't you say, the binder, a month and a half ago?
Yes. I know you've been working on it for a while. Right.
I like the two cities that you picked out as examples. I have been able to attend.
Oh, we're getting there.
Sorry, I read it so many times.
I do have an addition to this when I was reading it, and I wanted to add a media policy to the procedures manual, and I've drafted a proposed language to a media policy that can be added to it. It would be all media contacts should be directed to and or originate from the general manager.
Where would you put that?
I'm making this up.
I know you're making it up, but where would you put it in your table of contents?
I don't know. We'll get there.
I think what we need to do is you can submit that, and then we'll bring it before the personnel committee and then add it as an addendum, because this is supposed to be a working document, so we can add it.
Okay.
As and I'll bring it as a
deal
as to
discussion.
Add it to the deal.
Let me state it out loud then.
Yeah,
as a discussion, because this is the way I think it'd be cleanest to operate. For clarity, media policy: all media contacts should be directed to and/or originate from the general manager. If the general manager position is unfilled or the general manager is unavailable, all media contacts should be directed to and/or originate from the president of the board of directors or their representative.
District Council says if you wish to make that, you make a motion to add that, then we can add it, and then you can approve it.
You have to make a motion to discuss, and that can be an amendment
to what's before you, and
okay.
You can then move to amend to approve the whole thing with that amendment.
If that's okay with everybody, I'd rather do it as an amendment. It'd be cleaner than having another meeting.
Yes.
And it's a fairly simple change.
Can we discuss
Please.
That just for a second?
Do you want to see? That's what I just.
No. I believe what you read. But there's only one thing that kind of doesn't resonate with me.
Tell
right?
Me.
Is that I think maybe.
Was it 9:30? From KSBY, so.
Great. Can you write that change that Mary did so that I have a final?
Did you actually make a change, or was it a question?
I just want to make sure it was covered.
Yeah, or
that we put our strongest foot forward that it's not a hierarchical, you automatically inherit media spokesperson.
My only question is, should we add any other a tag sentence that any other contact or.
You say or his representative, isn't
or
the
his
president's
or
representative.
Selected
would be
representative.
Or their representative. But I'm saying in any other would any other press releases or press contacts would be considered outside of this policy? Or do we do or is that so for example if an employee were releasing information it would not
that's
be considered.
Already covered in the manual.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see that when it talks about the privacy and information and,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And where did you want to put that?
I think as far as, well, let me defer to legal counsel. Would that go under general policy? Or would that go under employment classification?
Media policy.
I don't have my copy in front of me.
I have mine. Would you like to see it?
You could just add it to the end of employee responsibilities.
Add it to the end of employee responsibilities?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and do that? And I have this drafted as I just read it. So is there any other discussion or amendments that anybody else would like to make? If there are none, I'll entertain a motion with the amendment.
I'll make a motion that we approve the proposed meeting policies and procedures. No, just policies and procedures. I'm sorry, okay. Yeah. Okay.
With the amendment or without?
Yes, with the amendment as requested.
I have a motion to approve with the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Can I get a roll call vote, Carolina?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item 11E, administrative items, committee assignments.
Again.
Is there any public comment on this?
None at this time.
All right. It seems like we do this a lot.
Yeah, I know.
And so obviously, as everybody's aware, Director White is our newest member with Director Searcy's resignation. Director Searcy was previously the chair of the utility operations, water and sewer. He was the primary for Zone 3 Tech, and he was the alternate for Oceano Advisory, South Slo CSD, and Zone 3. So those are the vacancies at this time. And while we're discussing it, is there anybody that would like to change other committee assignments at this point?
Lori's got Zone 3.
Lori
is the alternate on Zone 3.
Lori is the primary on Zone 3.
No, she's not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Am I looking at the wrong thing?
I'm looking at the wrong thing. You're right, it says director.
I already got that committee taken away from me once. Don't do it again, Matt.
No, you're not.
They'll be messing around with my Zone 3 men. And then Rack is another life sucker that Lori and I go through. I did that committee, I'm sorry to say, I like the people attending, but it sucks the life out of you.
It does.
Isn't that called a succubus?
Look, Lori and I are committed now. Now we're driven.
I'm making an executive decision. You're keeping that one.
We are racked.
With that kind of sales pitch.
Till hell freezes over.
Okay.
But in my side, what I've neglected, I have to say, is the parks part and racks. I haven't been able to cover all of it.
Street lighting, parks and rec, right, on community enhancement. Right now, that is Director Hurdle.
On your ankles.
We have Zone 3. Mary, what do you think? Should we ask Director White to be the alternate there on Zone 3?
On Zone 3?
Yeah.
You know what? I think Lori should be, because I'm thinking that that'll give her 2 years as alternate this coming December, and then I can go into another role, and she can pick it right on up.
Okay.
And then we are able to share some of these big committees.
Okay.
And if by then we'll have had election and we'll have four seats. You know.
Since we have four open.
But I think that, yeah, Lori's been, you know.
Zone 3.
That's my thought on it.
Karen, does that hurt your feelings?
Oh, nothing's going to hurt my feelings.
Oh, okay.
We'll make her go, too, anyway.
The problem is...
I'll go anywhere I need to go. I know something about all of them and not enough about any of them. Especially, I don't know about utilities operations.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I don't think there's been a meeting on that.
On what?
Utility operations in a while.
We had one when we were doing the capital improvement, but we're starting a new year, so...
Okay.
I'm extremely comfortable having her there.
Why don't we move Director Angelo to the chair of that one, since she was at the last one?
Chair of which one?
Utility operations.
Water and sewer.
Oh, water. Okay.
So, and we'll have Karen White be the alternate. Is that okay, Karen?
Sure.
All right. The last one we have left is Zone 3 Tech.
Are there any women in Zone 3 Tech, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, there are.
There are?
Yep. I've already given Karen an update on what goes on there, and our next meeting I was planning on having her come. So.
Great.
Zone 3 Tech?
Zone 3 Tech, yeah.
Director White, do you mind taking Zone 3
Mine
Tech?
Mine is fine.
No, all right.
Zone 3.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
By the way, Elon Funky Baloo says hello. All right, it looks like we've got committee assignments. We'll just need the staff to prepare letters letting them know where the changes were to the particular
Okay,
account.
I gotta get them straight here. Okay. So Karen's doing Oceano Advisory, right?
Oceano Advisory, she's the backup.
Right.
Alternate.
And
primary. Director Hurdle's offering you the primary position.
Would you like to be the primary on that?
Well, I certainly could serve on that. I've served on the board before.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Do you guys want to switch those then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Director White will be the primary on Oceano Advisory.
Yeah.
Director Hurdle will be the alternate.
Because that gives you one primary position.
Any other changes?
Who got the alternate on Sand District?
Sand District, Director Angelo.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She hesitated there.
That's okay.
Okay. And then the other change was Zone 3. The alternate will be Director Angelo.
No. Yeah.
Yes. Alternate. You're still the primary.
Yeah. But I think she's already sworn in as alternate. Did a letter go off to the Board of Supes for Lori's Zone 3 appointment? I'm relatively confident. And for RAC. I thought
everybody was notified via letters. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think they've already taken action.
I was on the RAC list also.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's already on the RAC list. So what I can't figure out, though,
is... Well, the RAC has been you two anyways.
Yeah.
But Zone 3 is different.
You're the...
Yeah, we know that. One is bearable, one is not.
And so are the participants.
But what I'm asking you is, do you think it's, I mean, it seems like those three kind of go together. Zone 3, RAC, and tech. And we're throwing Karen into tech.
Karen won't have any problem with tech.
Okay.
What about...
I was told I was not qualified, so good luck.
I didn't tell you that.
I was told I was not an engineer and I did not work in the field, and good luck.
And then on utility operations, we had Director Angela as the chair, Director White as the
alternate.
The not alternate, but director, because they it's a two-person.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Personnel, should we leave that as Director Lucien Hurdle? Any objection? Hearing none. Finance audit, Director Hurdle and myself. Any objection?
Hearing Great none. Job.
Community enhancement. Director Hurdle is the chair. Director Angelo is the alternate. Any objections? Hearing none. All right. I'll make a motion to approve as amended. Do I get a second?
I'll second.
Right. I actually telephoned Esther in Burbank, and she explained that their meeting procedure allowed public comment 3 minutes for public comment for items not on the agenda, 5 minutes for public hearing items, and 3 minutes for their closed session. I asked if that was a cumulative of 11 minutes, and she said if there was only one public hearing item. When there are multiple public hearing items, they are allowed to speak multiple times at the five-minute interval. So that's actually more generous than your board. I spoke to Susie in Santa Monica, and she explained that the reason that they have a limit on public comment to 6 minutes per person per evening, with a two-minute max on any item, that their meetings were impacted by some 50 speakers wanting to speak. Their most contentious item, of course, is the closing of their airport. And some of their meetings went beyond 1 o'clock in the morning. I do agree that your meetings should change, or your agenda should change, to have a consent calendar. When you do that, you need to have a fully written staff report so that yourselves and the public are fully informed on what you are passing on that consent calendar. It can't just be a one title. You've got to fully explain it. And I was surprised by this suggestion that the meeting needed to be changed, because just last meeting, and I went through your minutes and did some math, your open session was 1 hour and 23 minutes, your closed session was 1 hour and 45 minutes, and you adjourned by 10:10 p.m. So I don't see the need to limit public comment when you have very few speakers. And certainly right now you don't have any very contentious items, but I would caution that certainly on a public hearing item, everyone should be allowed to speak to the public hearing item for the full 3 minutes, or whatever your president decides, depending on the size of the crowd.
Thank you.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, President Guerrero, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And again, I object to the order of this proceeding, in that the public is required to speak before the staff presentation. Now, typically, you don't have a written staff report, so it makes it real difficult. In this instance, there is a staff report prepared, and so it does provide some benefit, but I would again object to the sequence. I would urge against adoption of this proposed meeting policy and procedure, these changes. My first question is, who directed this effort? by reading the staff report and the policy changes, somebody, I mean, this is a lot of work. Clearly, this appears to be exceed the $5,000 limit your general manager has to direct this.
Let's be off topic, Mr. Adler.
I am unaware of when your board authorized this work. Perhaps you can tell me when it was. Also, there doesn't appear to be a need for this. It looks like a make-work project for your lawyer, and it's a waste of district resources. Here, the billing rate for her firm is $240 an hour.
Mr. Edwards.
Not at all. She gets paid maybe $80 an hour, so you're paying her firm $140 an hour.
Mr. Edwards, if you can, I will ask the police to come back in and escort you from the deal.
So I'd like you to know, under the Brown Act, there's a standard of reasonableness. And so when you have multiple public hearing items and there are a lot of people that want to speak, you can clearly, as a president, reduce their speaking time from 3 minutes to 2 minutes or 30 seconds or what have you. So it doesn't seem to be a need for this. As a practical matter, I'm wondering what's the purpose here other than, again, just creating work. It's stated in the staff report that one of the goals here is to create greater public participation. I'm wondering how that's possible. How many people are here tonight that would like to speak? And so, you know, that would seem to be a reason. I believe that this is one more attempt by your GM in a pattern of efforts.
And if the Oceano residents were unhappy, they would be here. That's why there isn't anyone here, because they're happy with the way things are going, with the way this board and manager and staff is working. So I don't see any problem whatsoever with what you try to do, and I know it will not adversely affect the residents of Oceano in any way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Tacker, Mr. Edwards, can you keep the comments down in the back? It's distracting. Thank you. Is there any other public comment, Manager Giesen?
None at this time. So at this point, I'll turn it over to District Legal Counsel.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Thurman.
This began as a result of complaints by Oceano residents that they were not comfortable coming to meetings, did not like the meetings because the public comment periods were being monopolized by a couple of individuals. And we had many discussions, general manager with individual board members, about what we could do to get the Oceano public to more participate in the business of Oceano, which is why we're here. So, and secondly, in researching the amendment to the bylaws, I realized a lot of things that are currently in our bylaws are more properly addressed to policies and procedures rather than a bylaw thing. So, just kind of came together. This came out first, but. And in researching other cities, towns, districts, I will say quite frankly, my initial goal was to bring it right up to the line, what was legal, and found that we didn't really need to do that because there was a lot of ways to bring in the public without necessarily cutting off anybody. And what are proposed in here, especially for public comment, which seems to be the biggest problem here, is well within what lots of public entities do. Morro Bay, for example, allows public comment once at the very beginning. And of course, the term kept coming up, public hearing items. Public hearings do require by law the chance for the public to talk, and that is different. That's separate than mm-hmm. public comment in general. If there is a public hearing, mm-hmm. public gets a chance for each item that is a public hearing. But in general, Morro Bay, for example, really does just once at the beginning, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so by putting three public comments, it gives people who want to come, say their piece, and don't want to sit through everything a chance to comment on anything, agenda items or not. And they can go home. They've said their piece, and they don't have to sit through everybody else. And the one at the end, particularly if people, those have a lot to say, there will be an opportunity at the end, you know, and you guys will all listen. So
I've researched it pretty carefully. It's well within what's allowed. It's well within the law. It's just whether you want to do it or not. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I have some questions.
Okay.
Was the intent here to restrict public participation?
No, it was to increase public participation because we've just had complaints that there was no, they didn't want to come, they couldn't come, they had to sit through repetitive, irrelevant comments by people who, a couple of people who monopolize public comment. And it's become a real problem in Oceana. So we were, the goal really was to try to have opportunities for more people with different agendas, with different needs, different schedules, to come and participate in the meetings.
Go
ahead,
Mr.
No,
President,
please, we can.
I do have a comment. I like this, I like the consent agenda. It is the agenda that is used for the JPA. I find that being able to approve sections makes the process smoother and quicker, therefore providing more time for public comment, which would help assist the public to be able to have their input. I think that the consent portion of the agenda complements or balances the public comment section. And I think that once this is in place, that you'll see how effective this can be. And it doesn't eliminate people. It allows more people to participate because there's more time.
Mm-hmm. And actually, there is that brought up an interesting, or I meant to mention that this does conflict now with our current bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
actually, it probably should not be approved until we change the bylaws. It came up first because I just started working on this one, and it got done before the bylaws did.
Okay.
But if we approve it, it will conflict. So I'm going to not recommend that it be approved tonight, but that it be brought back when we bring the bylaws changes back.
I did review the bylaws today, and there was an
absolutely. It should. I think what the way it's written, it needs to be done at the beginning of the meeting to make sure that it's fair, because the most important test on any limits to public comment is that it's applied equally and fairly across the board. So you don't want to let the agenda go, you know, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, and then allow 15 minutes.
Right, just announce it all of a sudden.
At the beginning, if you change it.
So, for example, if we had selling water on the agenda again, we would announce at the beginning of the agenda, this is item 10A, for example. There will be public comment allowed at X number of minutes per person.
Yes.
And as long as we do it on the front end, give proper notice at the meeting, then it would be.
And acceptable. You can take public comment specifically for that one at that time if you mm-hmm. want.
Right.
Yeah. Because you have the flexibility to change it at any given meeting as long as you do it at the beginning of the meeting.
Because I note that everybody seems to agree that the Brown Act does it requires it prior to or during.
Right.
And it's not and during.
Right.
It's or. And you can do it on the front end of it, which.
And nearly every public entity, I think we're the only ones who do it after a staff report. I'm sure there are others that do it, but I don't know any.
Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker, I'm not asking again. I will have the police come and remove you. Please do.
Please do.
Adjourn the meeting.
Let's adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes. All right, it is 8:49 p.m. The meeting is being called back in session. We are on item 11F. I'd like the minutes to reflect that Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker were asked to leave. The police officers would be called. They said, go ahead, well, we're leaving. And so the room was cleared for that purpose, and they have left. Molly, we were in the middle of questions with district legal counsel, and I think that Thelma had asked the last question.
What was the last question?
Did you write? No, I think I just made a comment on how I felt this was a very good, strong guideline for our meetings.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I had a thought during the break, because we were talking about how we can open it up for more public comment on an action item if we decide that that's appropriate or necessary and that it has to be done at the front end. I think that that procedure should be specified in these particular...
I think I did, didn't I?
If you did, I missed it.
I believe it's in there.
I believe it. I thought I saw it, too.
And really, I read it. I swear I did.
Here it is. I think this is it.
What page are you on?
It is on the agenda or not.
What it says
it's a public comment period. Speakers may comment on any item of district business.
Right. No, what I'm mentioning is adding another section of public comment on an action item. It should be done at the front end of the meeting.
Yes.
If it's in the consent.
Okay, actually I think it says may further limit, but you might would want to change it to may alter.
May
in
alter.
What the time.
What area is that?
Under oral comments, the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph under oral comments.
Your pages aren't numbered.
Sorry, we're dealing with, we're off, we don't have page numbers.
Okay. It is under oral comments, yes. So perhaps when we do the bylaws and approve this at the same, if we decide to approve it.
They may modify the time for individual public comment based on the number of speakers, volume of agenda items, or other circumstances.
I like that change.
Any such modification.
Okay.
Any such modification.
Prior to the first public comment period.
Okay. And, President.
Yes, please, Director Huddle.
I have a question for under oral comments. The first paragraph, I'd like to read it if I may, because I have a question
yes.
about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay. Speaker slips are available on the table next to the podium. Individuals wishing to make public comment should fill out a speaker slip and give it to the general manager before the meeting is called to order. Okay, so that means that once the meeting starts, we're not accepting anymore.
It just says should. Is this
okay.
kind of an order thing?
Should.
Like when Linda, something came up and she slipped
right.
it up here. That will happen.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's fine. It's just sort of to keep, so we don't have people running around the whole time.
Okay.
Is the purpose of that.
Great.
Okay,
and then no member of the public is required to fill out a speaker slip in order to make a public comment.
No, that's true. I mean, that is the rule, and it would be, again, kind of a question of order. All the slips would go first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think generally, you know, are there any other public comment? And
if somebody
raised
just walked
or just
in,
said,
okay.
they are entitled to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's identified.
I know there's some really good phone interpreting services that we would be able to put
The Board of Directors also offers headphones for the hearing to pay.
Oh, yeah.
So when I would go with Tom Oliver, I'll ask him about that.
Actually, I think there's some general language about if you need accommodation, and then that includes interpretation, headphones, anything,
yeah.
24 hours notice or
something
48
like,
hours.
I think it's 48 hours, yeah.
I think there's
yeah.
some general language that I can put
and
in
I've
there.
Seen,
there is. Kind of accommodation.
I've seen it on... we talked about doing it on ours.
It's pretty basic. There's a web page for the ADA, and if you just go to accommodations... But it is 48 hours.
Okay, I'll add that.
Because that seems like...
You know, I'd also like to point out that, and Director Hurdle put this out there already about repetitive. Mm-hmm. We had a combined 30 minutes of public comment tonight, of which, with the exception of Linda Austin and her 3 minutes, 27 minutes came from two people. And during that 27 minutes, it was either personal attacks on the general manager, personal attacks on council, personal attacks on staff, and it's just, for those of you watching at home, it's just become such a distraction and so counterintuitive to the work that we need that this is what we need to do to maintain the business of the district. But we do welcome every single one of you to provide comment to us at any given time.
And you know, on that, these are people who are making money by writing articles under the guise of an opinion piece. They're trying to make money and create issues, and that came out recently as well. And
And I did get a chance to respond to the comment, which I wanted to, that at the last meeting was the open meeting, the open session was 143 minutes. I did count, and the two of them, two individuals, had 33 minutes of public comment out of that 143 minutes. Public comment by just two individuals.
Right. And as we discussed before, one particular, Ms. Tacker.
And the last thing I want to point out is that when that episode happened during our general public comment deal, that left such a stain on the nice presentation that we did for Michael Blanchard and everything he did for the community. And so those of you watching at home, you know, this is Oceano, and we're not going to tolerate this type of behavior, especially to people that have stepped up and done great community service.
Wonderful things. And what a poor example for a young man who is really trying to set an example and make a difference. And it really, to me, brings forward such a lack of respect for the district and the things that we're trying to do.
All right.
I actually think that things are starting to escalate, and so the timing is impeccable, and I, you know, if the stars had anything to do with it, I think that by creating, fine-tuning our policies and procedures and moving forward on this, trying to contain it, because it truly has been escalating more and more, and people are staying away because they are, they don't want to be recruited for anything. And two is they just don't feel comfortable. They feel like it's a hostile environment, and they just are starting to come back because they were trusting the board. And so I just think that we were right on target. Anyway, under the consent agenda, Molly, I wanted to walk. I'm clear on it. It's that on the consent agenda, if we have items, we had talked about this. And that would be on page 2, if there was, first page, second page, and then it's the top paragraph. In other forums where I've seen this, I've seen, you know, hundreds of consent agendas, but I've also seen forums where if there's an item that is listed on the consent that is deemed need a little discussion, right? It's pulled off the consent and it's called special and it's put on the bottom of the agenda. And any of the directors could do that. And I was at one city where public comment, if there was a number of people who wanted to comment on one consent item or two people, it was pulled and put at the end of the meeting, which was problematic sometimes, and sometimes it wasn't problematic, it was needed. But in any case, I think it will be way more efficient. But say, for example, every month the fire department comes in, they have a written report a month. I mean, that would be overkill. We want them monthly.
They only need to come once a month.
Right. They don't even need to come, really. You know, they could, you know, send it over, and if they see that their items are consent, you know, just send it over, and it's attached to the file.
But we only
put
it on the agenda then once a month, so whenever they do a report, we put it on the agenda. Basically.
That's right.
Okay.
But that's right.
Okay, I'll add that.
That wouldn't be consent. There wouldn't be anything we took action on, though. That's just a report, so that shouldn't that be separate in reports from...
Well, actually,
the consent
that's a report. Good point.
The consent we have to vote on.
Right.
Right.
But any reports like the fire, who you've got listed in your
sample.
Draft sample.
Did I put that in the consent? That's a good point. You're right.
You can't. I mean, it wouldn't be in a consent.
Right, but it would be.
Consent. Oh, it would not. It should not.
It's
separate.
It's a separate. Yeah,
it is
report.
Separate,
but it can't be in consent because consent we vote on, and we wouldn't vote on a fire report.
Right. That's why it's
that's
after
consent.
It's on report.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
That's reports.
But whatever is on the consent agenda should have something written attached.
A summary.
That's a good thing to add. Okay.
A synopsis.
Well, I can't find where she has consent. Oh, right.
Anything else? Any other questions?
Okay, so like, for example, A would be moved up to 6, right? up to consent agenda, correct? 7A would be moved up. We would have had put that under 6A.
Mm-mm. Are you looking at tonight's agenda? Are you looking at tonight?
I'm looking at the sample.
Right. Oh.
From May or June 13th?
The sample, the June 13th you gave us.
Okay.
So it's kind of a draft sample of how the agenda would be laid out.
Yeah, I took what we had and moved what would for that night have gone up into the consent agenda.
So 7A would have been really theoretically put in 6A.
What agenda?
No. Where's the list of where's the list of the agenda items for consent?
Under six. Agenda review, review and approval of minutes, and cash disbursements. For that particular meeting, those were the three consent items.
Well, you can't... okay, so you put the minutes under consent?
Well, because you moved to approve them, yeah.
Okay. If there were no changes. Because consent is
okay,
to vote the block.
If there were changes, one of you would take it out at the beginning and say, I need to make changes, and it can be discussed right at the end of this consent agenda or after the administrative items. You can put it, I think, at the end of consent agenda is better.
Right.
But any one of you can say, I need to change that,
and
we take it out. And it can take 2 minutes to discuss it and change it, but you do it separately.
Okay.
Like Matt last night at Morro Bay, they did pull two things off the consent agenda. One took about 30 seconds to discuss and vote on, but they wanted one director wanted to vote no, so he took it off, and they just voted no.
And we did mention this earlier, but Molly Thurman and I did go to the Morro Bay city council meeting last night. They had a very lengthy agenda. There was over 140 pages of staff report, and they probably finished it faster than we've gone tonight.
And the public comment was interesting. The public,
the public was involved.
Yeah.
They were engaged. They took a variety of topics. People would stand up and say, for example, I am Matt Guerrero, and I'm here to speak on item 7C. And they would do their time on that, and then they would say, now I'm going to speak on item 8D. And they would make a mention of that, and the council was very involved in taking notes. And when it was done, it was over. They had a consent agenda. They went through it, pulled a couple of items, went to their other items where they had board discussion, and it was very efficient. And I thought it was very well done. So
yeah, it was interesting.
It was interesting. It was educational. Although it is difficult to watch other people's meetings, to have no background of what they're talking about.
Well, Lori and I did. We attended the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting last night to see how they function. And same thing. It was consent. You know, what wasn't important was pulled. Mm-hmm. Their budget was clear and concise. They had two divisions reporting. One division waited in the conference room watching it on TV. The crew moved in, they presented their case, the crew moved out, the next crew moved in, presented their case, little discussion, vote, over. And it was like it was rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that they did at Morro Bay that I thought I really liked, at the very beginning, they had a special presentation. It looks like they do it each time, like a business presentation.
Uh-huh.
This one happened to be a new business in town.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about the business, kind of promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be our first try at ADA compliance.
Yeah.
Being selfish.
Thank you.
Barbara Mann, Oceano resident. Hi, Barbara.
Good evening, Barbara.
Yeah, okay. Barbara Mann, Oceano resident. I just wanted to take a minute or two. Number one, I hope that those people in TV land will understand that Julie Attacker and Jeff Edwards do not speak for the Oceano residents. Unfortunately, because of the law, they can come and say whatever they want, but I think in the future, when they become rude and abusive, the boys in green will be over to take care of them. And quite frankly, that will make me very, very happy. But even more, the time that they have taken for public comment since last January doesn't bother me as much as the time that they have taken from staff during the week asking for public documents. I just really at some point keep saying, oh, I'm going to come in and see how many requests for information have we had since January 2012, and you know, how many people, and just see who is taking all the staff time that we need to be running this district. We're short on staff members now. You know, illnesses, you know, arise, and this is a short staff to start with. You know, a lean staff. And then if we have someone out sick or ill, the burden becomes almost impossible. And to have these nuisance requests drives me crazy. And I hope that the residents of Oceano understand that we are being undermined by these two individuals. And sometimes, you know, if you don't know better and you see them coming up to tell the board each meeting what you need to do or what you don't know, like you don't know a budget's due or you don't know that an election's coming or any of these various things that they tell you week after week after week. And if they haven't figured out by now that Oceano does not own that airport and that airport is not going away, then I'm really concerned perhaps their mental health. You know, are they sane to keep thinking that by coming here every week and nagging about the airport that things are going to change? So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I just have been thinking about this for quite a while. So thank you for letting me say my piece.
Thank you, Barbara. I will make a comment as to the public records request. One time, Julie Tacker emailed me and suggested that we hire more staff to comply. So.
Did you?
No, we didn't hire more staff to comply.
And I'd just like to add this, and I don't want to get into nitpicking, but I was taught that you get more results with honey than vinegar. And I happened to be in Tom's office one day last week, and I saw a request for information on his desk that was from one of these individuals. And it really was a demand list. There was no please.
Right.
There was no thank you. It was, I want this. And that's not cool. It's not nice. And, you know, so.
Well, it's.
Yes.
You know, Phil, I'm glad you brought that up because I've seen that abuse many, many times from them. And I wonder about staff morale and stuff. And is there any way we, you know, we can't physically stop them from doing that? But there's got to be some way.
We got it. We're getting off topic here.
Meeting
policies and procedures.
Right, policies and procedures. Right. But you know, if I talked out of school on that one, then I'm sorry. But it's like, I think I was piggybacking on Barbara's comment because it is a staff issue as far as workload, and staff knows what we are, what their responsibilities are, and. They should be appreciated for the work that they do, and I think that's all I'm commenting on.
All right. Well, let's table this until the bylaws are read. Moving on to item 11G, California Special District Association 2012 Board Elections.
Chairman Guerrero, what we have here is we belong to a group, and they, the California Special District Association, and they were looking for nominations, and this person threw his name into the ring, and I have not met the gentleman. He is seeking the nomination. He's the only one, and he's asking for our vote.
From where?
north of the River Municipal Water District. Stu Vessel.
Any idea what that is?
You know, I don't see a need for a lot of discussion on this. Is there public comment?
There's no public.
There's no public comment. Anybody have any objection to Mr. Esselman?
I do, because I don't know him, and I don't know where that is, and I don't know who he's advocating for.
It's Region 4.
This is what I have.
Where does his loyalties lie, in the South County, or where? That's why I
don't even know where north of the River Municipal Water District is.
Yeah.
It's for the California Special District Association.
Do we know the boundaries of Region 4?
We are in District 4, and this came from CSDA looking for a vote. We can bring it back.
We have until August 3rd.
3rd, yeah.
So why don't we
bring it back? But it's like, okay, so I'll go Google him and...
The biography.
Well, I'm just saying...
He only needs one vote to win. I'm sure he's going to sign his own card.
All right, I'll bring it back.
July 25th?
You don't have to bring it back. I just don't, you know, want geographic area overloaded.
Yeah.
There's not going to be another candidate. I don't see...
Well, in fairness, I did talk to Director Angelo about possibly stepping up to do this.
Yeah.
But
you don't got enough on your plate?
It was like, okay, do we want to take care of what's going on in Oceano? Where about the rest of the world, or do we want
to... Tom, I would discourage you from stepping up to this. Not because I don't think you're capable, but because I think we need you here.
It's just a lot.
You're doing the fire authority.
I was obligated to bring it to you because they asked, and
sure.
I'm following through.
Okay. Am I still on that?
So don't take any action. Table.
Okay. We'll table till the 25th. I'm going to provide this back to Carol Ann for July 25th. Moving on to item number 11H, 2009-2010 audit update. Hit us.
Ladies and gentlemen,
ta-ta.
1 year ago, I came in and assessed the district on Saturdays and wrote a plan. And I stood before the people of Oceano, and I stood before this board, and I said I would get things done. And one of those was because the county said if you didn't get audits done, they were going to take the district back. That's what they threatened on the letter. It hangs on my office. I look at it every day. We started with 2008, 2009. There was no books closed. We had to close the books. We had to go through all the adjustments. Staff spent countless hours going through all the data that the auditors wanted to test. And believe me, there was a lot of stuff that they wanted to test. It opened up a lot of internal controls problems, which we identified early on and added it. Ladies and gentlemen, I had presented to you the 2008 audits. And then when we got in the middle of 9-10, we discovered that we'd received more federal money than we, and so we had to perform with a single audit where we had to take that federal and state project and allow them to test it to make sure that we did everything right. And so we had a single audit. So I'm going to pass down, and they've been on the website for a while, and they've been turned into the county, but I'm going to pass down the 2008, 2009. I have copies for you. But they're readily available for anybody to look at. And that's the single audit and the regular one. So
thank you.
Most of you have already seen it. Now I'm going to pass down to you 9-10, which was completed literally this morning at 8:30 when an attorney came and said said that he had no problems with what we had done. And this will be delivered to the county this week. So two of the three past audits are now complete. As you know, when the third one is completed, the staff is going to be treated as steak and lobster for all the extra work that they have to do, because unfortunately we don't have the history here that we had, so there's a lot of hunt and pecking that has to be done. Inside is an opinion. We've addressed those opinions and those findings, but I'm proud to stand before you that I said I'd get it done in a year, and it took a year and 3 days. But this is a major accomplishment. It's what we set out to do as a team, and we got it done. And we got one more year to close, and then we will be
perfect. Didn't get theirs done until January. So obviously our minutes are to get these things done within 120 days. Can't hold you accountable for something that happened 2 years before you got here, obviously. And I just want to say I appreciate your effort, and I know how much hard work went with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff of four, I know what kind of hard work went into that. Thank you.
Well, it was a staff of seven.
Well, not including the yard guys. I was.
Because the boys in the yard had stuff too, also, because they had to go through, when they tested it, they wanted to make sure there was justifications for them.
True, true. Well, thank you to them as well.
Waited for this for a long time.
As the long-term survivor of this board, I thought that your timeline was extremely ambitious, seeing what I'd been through the rest of the years before. And so I especially have to applaud you on your efforts. And I do know what a disarray this place was in. And thank you for agreeing to roll up your sleeves and do it. And being very respectful of timelines, you really are very, very good at. People don't understand the importance of timelines, and I finally found a person who takes them as serious as I do, so thank you very, very much, Tom. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, but again, I want to say that it was more staff than me. I just pointed in the right direction. So.
Yeah, and you kept them on time.
So.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Celia.
And Marie's not here, and Celia's not here, but the bulk of the testing, Celia is the one that digs in and gets the stuff. Caroline did a great job of doing the utility billing because she handles what comes in the front of the door. Celia matched up all the past invoices and all the other things. And there are findings in there, and we are taking those findings at heart. And we're moving forward. So the white one that I just gave you has a moderately adverse opinion, but they too recognize what we've done to make things happen. So.
Thank you. Let's move on to the next item. Utility will serve items. I've previously recused myself on this particular item, so I will step out of the room. And Director Lucy, why don't you call the Vice President Lucy, why don't you call the closed session and take us into closed session. I'll wait and back.
Is very good,
that
sir.
Acceptable?
Okay, Director Lucy, there's no public comment on this, but we have gone through this several times and we brought it to the board. We've had multiple meetings with Mr. Cervantes, with Public Works of the county. We've had meetings with the fire department. Everything that they've submitted is within spec. It's actually a rental property, so the new inhabitant is coordinated through his landlord, so they already have water and sewer and everything.
Uh-huh.
And any of the changes that he make are well within the spec of the project and well within spec of the county guidelines. There are some gray areas which code enforcement's going to have to monitor, but it's not our call. So he's meeting the spec, his architect's meeting the spec, and we have to go forward, so I'm recommending that you approve this project.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? No? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
I make a motion that we approve subject APN 0621111, 014, OCSD project number 6423, owner project Hart, new restaurant and existing building.
Okay. Can I get a second on that?
Second.
Karen White seconds it. Okay. I think we can do this if I have just a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
I think you need to do a roll call because Matt recused.
Okay.
Yeah.
Caroline, we need a roll call.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we're going to go into closed session, but I do see that we have public comment right after closed session, so if it would be all right, is there anybody here who would like to do public comment before we go into closed session? Okay, because I don't want people to have to sit there and wait, so okay. With all due respect, we'll be now...
Just to announce.
Oh, okay, we're going to go into closed session with legal counsel in anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 5495.6.9b3c.
Director
Claim,
Lucy.
What?
Director Lucy, can I make a suggestion? Because we do have some people here that are waiting to hear some of the other stuff that's coming.
All right. Director Lucy, or Vice President Lucy?
I'd just like to say that we do have an employee who's had a horrible tragedy happen in her family. And so whether we do a bake sale or whatever we do, you know, I'd like to see us do something for her, because this is the one employee who stood by our sides all the way through the chaos we went through. This woman was solid as a rock, you know, and just saying that, we need to do something. So
let's brainstorm that together.
Yeah, and at staff recommendation, but I feel really an obligation to do something to help her family.
Let's think about that and how to do that, because the problem becomes we do have a policy about receiving gifts.
Yeah, we can't give gifts, but I think we can at least kick off a barbecue fundraiser or something.
Yeah.
Maybe Kiwanis or something would be
interested in
helping.
And work in course with Kiwanis.
Maybe not.
Advisory council.
And I don't know if we have it in place, but can staff, if I had recruited sick time, I could donate time to her. Mm-hmm. And I know with a very small staff, it's probably very limited, but.
Well, what I was planning on doing was the next meeting, coming forward and saying this is how much time that she took, and this is what she owes us, and then come for board approval on that, so that there was no question of special things that like happened when I first got here.
Under the California law, that kind of situation does qualify for a family leave.
Yes,
under the
does.
Family Leave Act.
I believe it does. After
120 days minimum with a 4 month extension, I think, two extensions of 60 days. So it does come out to be about almost 6 months of family leave time. But what we can do other things internally too. But if somebody wants to do a barbecue, I'm ready to roll. I mean, eat.
I'm only good at three things, and that's one of them.
Okay. Rolling,
eating. Rolling and eating, yeah. Let's talk about that some more. You and I can talk about that off the
cuff.
Off the record, so to speak. Director Angelo, any board member discussion tonight?
No.
Director Hurdle?
None, thank you.
And I'll just my last comments, and I do want to just reiterate the confidence that I and I think this board as a whole has in the staff and our management, and we really welcome Tony aboard. And it's kind of a I can't believe in an organization this small can be so challenging sometimes, and Tom and I have to get together and debrief. I've got a bicycle valve installed on me where I just hit it and relieve pressure, because I can't believe that it can be so challenging sometimes. And but I really do think that that this is a phoenix bird that's ready just to come up out of the ashes and fly again. And I'm expecting good things, and it's happening. And Tom, I credit you with most of it. And thanks.
Yeah, I do have one thing to say. I think we're striking a core note with the people in Oceano, because they're seeing that we're truly trying to get things under control, trying to manage it well. We have a very good board group right now. We all have the same ideas and want to see things improve, and there's no what's in it for me attitude.
No,
it's
no
like
hidden agendas.
We've got to do as much as we can for our community, mm-hmm. and that goes with all of us. Mm-hmm. I really believe there's a strong group here.
And I got to say, these meetings are the hardest $100 I've ever earned.
That's funny. That's very.
It was meant to be funny. It's true. Well, let's go into closed session.
We got board
member items for next meeting agenda. Just potentially the bylaws in conjunction with
the items we already went over tonight, but that's contingent upon Molly and I being able to get together and getting her done.
There will be a special meeting on the...
On the special meeting is tomorrow.
On the budget.
5 o'clock.
Right.
Tomorrow.
That'll probably be quick. I don't think we need AGP here for that. I think it's probably a 20-minute meeting, tops.
Okay. And not to bring up any sore spots, but we have to talk about September 6th.
Yes.
I don't care how painful it is. The Water Resource Board is coming to town to hear about the spill. They want to hear from the community. They want to hear from the board of directors from the sanitation district. Oceano is one of
those board members. All right, I will ask Mr. Wallace to come make his presentation.
Okay, we have to talk about how we're going to present ourselves September 6th. You know, the community needs to be there. Everybody needs to be on their...
The county clerk recorder reported that we actually have 4 seats up for re-election because of some technicality when Director Hurdle was put in place. So the actual 4 seats that are up for re-election are Mary Lucy's seat, Matthew Guerrero's seat, Thelma Hurdle's seat, and Karen White's seat. And so if you're considering running, or anybody out in the public running, you need to get your paperwork in.
What's the deadline on that,
Tom? July 31st.
Ooh. And the filing fee is?
I think it's like $600, isn't it?
No.
Is what?
Is one of those a 2-year term?
I believe so, yeah.
July 31st, did you say?
Which 20th?
Actually, they're all 4-year terms.
Can't be.
But there
can't
was an...
There has to be a 2.
Because we have to stagger.
Because mine was 4.
Mine was 4.
Then it must have been Director Hurdles.
I think it was Director Hurdles as a 2-year seat. Because,
no.
No, it was 4-year seat.
Yeah, because Carol, she took Carol's seat.
That puts us in a funny spot, because if they're all 4-year seats, how do you delineate on the ballot who wins what?
It catches up later.
I think one of them has to be for 2 years, because otherwise you're always going to be getting 4 new directors at one time.
I think it's Rick. Better than Rick Searcy's seat. I think it is, too.
Yeah. How do they know on the ballot who's getting which?
We're chasing that all out. And then if you decide to run... You have to fill out a Form 470, and that's also due on July 31st.
470?
I don't understand this.
What?
I'm not understanding this at all.
Yeah, because I think Caroline...
It's a come here, go away for you.
What? No, there's a calculation. If a director resigns, and it's based on where in the point of
time
the term it is, and whether you... how long the seat is held. And there was some confusion based on what the county said. I went back and looked at it, and their calculations appear to be correct, that the elections, that there are 4 seats up. I don't have all the data, and I haven't looked at it really carefully, but the county apparently does. And because of the time when... I know, I'm really confused as to who...
Well, Jim and Carol both resigned at the same date. I know that.
Yes, but one of them was...
Carol was newly...
Carol was new. She had
I think she had 3 months.
She had only been elected in November.
Okay, that was the problem. Because, so, it was Carol's seat. That's the 4-year I think there's been some confusion.
This has gone back and forth several times.
But they are all up because of that 3. She was so early in her term. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it kicked that 4th one up into this election, rather than letting it roll over and see it got the rest of the term.
Okay. Well, if the county's making those representations, I'm not going
to... That's why I figured if the county had it in their database.
Right.
But Thelma, if you want to sit down, we can work through it.
Okay.
To see.
Okay.
So anyways, there's the 470s you have to file for your because you receive stipends, and you have to file that. And then you have to file your campaign-related items as well. And What I'll do is I'll try and grab all those forms next time I go up to their office. They've also asked for this place to be a polling place, which we have no problem with. And then we are also on the timeline for the ballot initiative. And on June 15th, we were supposed to get arguments from the county staff, and I haven't seen them yet. So I will be up asking them where that is as well. So that's from the, that's item one from the clerk recorder's office.
Is the deadline to file July 25th?
I believe it's July 25th. And I'll verify that, and I'll send you guys out all memos.
All right.
I did receive, on June 25th, a letter from Kathy Young, and she was here tonight. Mm-hmm. And she's extremely supportive of our actions, and specifically the two people that we had to ask leave the building tonight. So I pass that on to you.
I've seen that letter. Can we attach that to our minutes? Is that possible? I think so. Perhaps we could redact.
Lucy, can we redact out her was talking address? About?
If we could redact her address and telephone number.
So yeah, we can do that. Yeah,
and well, then attach
I'll
it.
Made it for the public. I'll do that. The other thing is, I received a hearing correct for Brown Act, though I'm not a lawyer. And then the other thing is that she's got contacts in here for an attorney, and recommending that our employees contact the attorney so that they can help sue the district. So once again, another positive thing where is being distributed out so that we can, and it's on the agenda tomorrow as well for closed session. But well, there again, all the positive things we're doing, and then now she's not only issuing legal advice, but she's recommending that our employees to contact this attorney so that they can take action against the district.
Well, yes, there is. And I think, you know, this isn't the first time that Ms. Tacker has sent a correspondence saying, please distribute this to everybody. Tom, you don't work for Ms. Tacker. None of the staff does. Carol Ann doesn't work for Ms. Tacker. Marie doesn't work for Ms. Tacker. Celia doesn't work for Ms. Tacker. And so I think it's inappropriate for anyone other than yourself to decide whether or not to distribute anything to anybody.
No, I know, but it was directed to the Board of Directors, and I'm obligated to bring it.
I know that, but it had that in there, and I just want to state publicly that's your decision if you want to distribute something.
Well, I think it needed to be brought out because anybody from the outside that's making recommendations for our employees to go out and sue the district is, it really shows the effect of how constructive they are toward the health of this district.
Right. And so we'll consider that tomorrow.
Okay. And then these are the audits again. And that concludes the correspondence that I received.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Barbara, Linda? Nothing? Jennifer? Thanks. Okay, why don't we adjourn to closed session. Comments with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B3. One matter, a tort claim from Steve Langstaff regarding wrongful termination. And then two cases pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B1, significant exposure to litigation. Thank you.
Okay, we can stay right here, right?
A, you're going to report action to deny the claim and under the vote.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back in session. It's the Oceana Community Service District. We've just come back from closed session. As to item 13A, this is regarding the Tort Claims Act from Steve Langstaff regarding wrongful termination. I believe there's going to be a motion to deny the claim. Do I have that motion?
I so move.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion from Director White. I have a second from Vice President Lucy. I'll take a roll call vote. Director White?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. The motion carries 5-0. As to item 13B, regarding the two cases, pursuant to subdivision B1 of 54956.9, there is no reportable action. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there anything?
I so move.
We have a motion. I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good night. It is 10:27, and we had come back at 10:25 originally. Thank you.